from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's about leadership. It's about leadership. And what makes a good leader? And I can tell you what doesn't make a good leader. A lot of the characteristics that I have.
Well, that was something you were also forthcoming about.
Yeah, this show will not get political. But Steve Kerr last night at the Democratic National Convention was talking about leadership and what makes a good leader. And I was thinking, whether it's Kerr or Shanahan, whether it's Gabe Kapler or Bob Melvin, you know, how we talk about our coaches and the styles that they have, I think obviously defines them. And what I'm getting at today, Evan, is, so we're going to have Kyle Shanahan at 11:30. He's going to talk to the media today at 11:30. We're going to take it live. And Steve Kerr is a guy who's won 4 titles. Kyle Shanahan's still looking for his first Super Bowl. And basically what I want to talk about today is what makes a great leader? What kind of leader do you want to play for? You like somebody who's mostly encouraging. You like somebody who's sometimes critical. And where do our coaches and managers fit into this, fit into this realm, if you will? And so, you know, there's a lot. Steve Kerr talking last night, I think, is interesting just because he's still the coach of the Warriors and he puts himself in that position. Obviously, he was asked to talk because Team USA won the gold, which obviously was a big reason he was there. I don't know. I just started thinking about the things he was saying, some of his, let's say, tenets of what he believes in as a coach and how that served him. And if you like that kind of style, if you like other kinds of styles, what works for you? Like what's the best boss you ever had? What were his characteristics? Stuff like that. So I don't know. We're going to read that one quote about leadership. I think it was kind of interesting and then kind of compare what other guys do to handle their coaching responsibilities.
Well, it definitely raised my eyebrows when I saw that Steve Kerr was going to be speaking at the DNC, because like there's been examples of former athletes or coaches that have spoken at Republican or Democratic mm-hmm. conventions before, Like, something that I forgot was Steve Kerr giving the invocation, or sorry, Steve Young.
Right.
Steve Young giving the invocation at the 2000 Republican National Convention. In 2008, Joe Gibbs, former head coach of the Washington Redskins, he spoke at, I believe, McCain's Republican National Convention. You know, we've seen different entertainers there. It is kind of customary for a lot of Olympians to speak or have a presence at a lot of these because it's election years. It's coming off of World Olympics and these world athletes that are representing our country. I don't know if pick a side is the right way to put it, but they're asked to speak. And so Steve Kerr felt like that was his chance to give a voice. And, you know, sure, he was talking about political things that we don't really have to get into. But I felt like he was telling us who he was, to your point about what a leader is and what he believes is good leadership. And I find it fascinating that throughout the last, I don't know, like two seasons, really since the championship year for the Warriors, it feels like his leadership has been under a microscope, or the way that he coaches the Golden State Warriors, or the way that he treats particular players. Everything has been just so, I don't know, broken down to every detail about him. And
right.
it's like he's being evaluated every single time he makes a choice on a rotation or an out-of-bounds play or the way that he deals with someone like Steph Curry, because we as Warriors fans are very protective of him. So I thought when he was talking last night, he was, you know, describing what he wants in, you know, in the political system and whatnot. But he was also telling us, I think, who he is. And I just found it fascinating that he goes kind of down his lines or his philosophical pillars of how he believes coaching should be done. And yeah, I think it applies to every work environment, to every perhaps political office. And it just got me thinking about, you know, the way the boss manages, the way that you manage as the one chair on the show, the way that maybe Bonte does it, the way that Willard does it. And some of the best bosses that I've had, the ones that I've liked and haven't liked, because it also sort of stems off of the conversation we ended with yesterday, Steiny, with Tua Tagovailoa basically ripping a former leader of his that did not believe in him.
Right.
And we're going to listen to Kyle Shanahan in 90 minutes. He's got a particular leadership style that I think is interesting, juxtaposed with Kerr, who's very, you know, just forefront, and he will tell you exactly what he thinks and how he feels, and Shanahan doesn't really tend to do that much. You know, what's the better way to go about things? I'm not so sure, but I guess I'll throw it to you first. You know, when you think of a great leader, what do you think of?
I think of somebody, a coach or a manager that is able to instill a bigger picture into the team than just a group of individuals. It's somebody who can get 12 guys in the case of basketball, 53 in football, 25 in baseball, to begin to consider themselves secondary to what the team's goals are. And I think it's really, really hard. But I think great coaches set up a big picture for their players that they understand and they're willing to commit to, even though it might not be the best thing for their own personal situation. And if you can get a majority of the guys to talk about that, and you can get a majority of the guys to buy into that, then I think you're a good leader. But you got to figure out a way to get your guys or women to produce. And sometimes I think you do have to use different tactics, but I think Steve Kerr, now we've watched coach for 12 years or whatever it is, 10, 12 years, and I think we know exactly who he is. He's very forthcoming, not just what he did last night, but in terms of what he tells the media, what he allows fans to know about his team. And I think the other thing about Steve Kerr that I find interesting, and I wonder whether it's because he's got titles as a player and now titles as a coach and a gold medal, is that he's not afraid to say, I might have done something wrong, or I didn't handle that the right way, or I wish I would have had that to do over again. And I think, personally, I feel like too many coaches are a little bit too defensive, and they don't want to acknowledge that they had difficulty making a choice and that they may not have made the one that was best if they look back on it. And I don't have a problem with that if the coach or the manager acknowledges that. I just don't. And some people think that's a sign of weakness, but I think it's a sign of security, and I think that a lot of players respond to that. A coach, especially nowadays, a coach who's not hell-bent on proving that he's right about everything. And again, I don't know if we're talking chicken or the egg, egg or chicken, in terms of, well, was Steve Kerr always like that? Or did he get that kind of confidence and get that honesty because he's been around now for 58 years and he's seen it all, and it just doesn't matter that much to him what people say about him or think about him?
I think he's also got the confidence of someone who's won and been around a lot of winners. And so whether he's right or wrong, I don't think he's afraid to admit fault because he knows what winning looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And not just as a head coach, as a player and in college and, under Lute Olson, like he's worked under so many different people that have won in the game of basketball that I don't really think he cares much about admitting that, yeah, I probably messed that up, or it's not too bad. Because at the end of the day, like his knowledge of self, I think, is very high. And that to me is what I partially what I define as a great leader, because it you do have to walk the line a bit. I do think there's not one great way to do something, but principled people generally make you think that there's their way or the highway.
Right.
And I think a lot of the best coaches or managers, they sway more than they let on. You know, they're willing to see the other side, and that's why if I'm thinking about what makes a great leader to me, it's someone who's demanding. It's someone who's supportive, someone who's obviously smart or knowledgeable about their arena, someone who's critical, and someone who's introspective. And I think Steve Kerr was all five of those things last night. And I think he's been all five of those things at every turn as head coach of the Golden State Warriors. You know, the Warriors got him at a point where he was a general manager, or he was a player, or he was a broadcaster. He'd kind of checked every single box except for the one on the sidelines. And so we got to see more of a finished product, I believe. And I also think Kerr would tell you he's grown a lot over the course of his, decade plus and with the Warriors, or almost a decade, I should say. He got it in 2015. So
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I do think that Kerr is somebody that's not afraid to try and get better, even though he has 9 championships, even though he probably could get up at the podium every single night, and when someone like me asks a stupid question, he could bury me and let me know how stupid I am about the game of basketball and how I don't know anything, and everything that I'm considering is are the wrong things to consider. He could bury every single reporter in that room if he wanted to, but he doesn't, because I think that he has a respect for, number one, the media, but he also understands that it's his job to help us understand what he's doing, and that way we can all work better together.
Let me throw this out at our listeners here, because I think a big part of being a great leader, a great coach, is believe it or not, sincerity. And so let me just throw this at you. When Steve Kerr addresses the media, anytime, forget last night, when he talks to the media too much, because that's what NBA coaches have to do. They have to talk twice on a game day, once every day after practice. Do you believe that when we see Steve Kerr talking to the media, talking about the Warriors, that's essentially who Steve Kerr is? That's Steve Kerr. We're seeing a genuine version of him.
Yes.
What he shows to other people, what he shows to the team, what he shows to his family and friends. I do too. What about Kyle Shanahan? When Kyle Shanahan comes to the podium and talks to the media, do you think that's really who Kyle Shanahan is?
I believe it's part of who he is.
Part of who he is.
Yes.
What do you think we don't see from Shanahan at a podium that his players see all the time?
Well, I guess that's an unanswerable question because he doesn't show it to us.
Well,
but
like for example, I think Shanahan can be a little bit prickly at a press conference and a little bit sarcastic. I actually don't think he's like that as frequently when he's coaching. I really don't, because I think that's a dangerous game to play. I think he's different with the 49ers. I think they know that he knows the game. They also know that he's stubborn in certain instances. But I do think that the bottom line is that most, if not all, of those guys in that team think he knows a hell of a lot about football. And, you know, we're going to play some sound, too, from Bill Belichick today. And there's no chance that Bill Belichick is the same person that he is at the podium. There's no way. He could not be a good coach if that's really who he was. And so that's another part of it that I think is interesting, is what coaches want to conceal, what they want to share, and if when they're dealing with the public and the fans, they're the same guy as when they're coaching their team or being, I don't know, out with their buddies.
See, I would disagree with you a bit with both of those. And the reason is, I think Shanahan is prickly with his players. It just manifests itself in a different manner. Like, I don't think he tries to, I don't know, I don't think he's as sarcastic with them. But I think Shanahan's a hard ass. Like, I think Shanahan is more of an old school coach than he gets credit for, just because he's associated with all of these, you know, modern offensive tactics and, I don't know, whatever people label him. But I think Shanahan is a guy that is in your face. I think he challenges you. And I think that's how he challenges the media. He does it by being a bit defensive sometimes, by being a little bit sarcastic. I don't think he's trying to be an a-hole. I think this is who he is. And so he needs you to know that if there's a question that he does not want to answer, he's not going to answer it.
Right.
And he needs to make that apparent immediately. I think he's the same way with his players, that what he demands of them is a certain standard and a certain level. And if they can't meet that, well, then either they're going to have to find a different job or they're going to have to get better. And it's his job to help them get better. So you're right. Like, I don't think he cracks jokes at them or, you know, maybe makes them feel bad. But I think he challenges them the way that he challenges the media to be better, to ask better questions, or to know that maybe you were onto something, but I can't tell you that publicly.
Right. Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, we've seen some great coaches and great managers here in the Bay, whether it's Bochy, whether it's Steve Kerr, whether it's Harbaugh, whether it's Shanahan, Bob Melvin, has had a lot of success. And I'm just wondering what your favorite attributes and characteristics are of these coaches. Like, what makes you drawn to a certain coach? And what makes you repelled by some, quite frankly? And who do you love to hear talk? And who do you love to learn about the game from? And who do you have the most confidence in? And who do you not have confidence in? And for what reason? And that's kind of what I'd love to get into today, here on 95.7, 888-957-9570. I'll tell you what's going on today too. We got some interesting stuff happening, but I'll tell you what, I'll go out to West Oakland Sam, right off the bat. He wants to talk about Steve Kerr. And we'll take a listen. What's up, West Oakland?
What's up, Snyder?
Hey.
Snyder, I love you, brother.
Oh, thank
Man,
you.
Man, Evan, I love you. I hope Guru's doing good. You guys, Steve Kerr has done everything in terms of basketball-wise, and now he finally got his Olympic ring. I don't know exactly what his father was politically, but I know he got assassinated.
Right.
And I know he was a figure. So me and my best friend were talking about it, and we were talking about him speaking at the DNC last night, and we were like, maybe a part of this is him taking an approach towards the political alley after he's done coaching, and maybe trying to finish or be like his father or finish his father's story in a sense, because he's always had that him and, like, he's like Greg Popovich, but a much more calmer Greg Popovich, because they both speak on political topics, but, you know, Steve Kerr is more, he's more analytical. He's more, you know, he's Steve Kerr, whereas Popovich is just cutthroat. But what me and my best friend were talking about was, like, I didn't look at it like he was speaking at the DNC, choosing a political party. I looked at it more of a sense of trying to finish what his father started, or just doing it for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and I really appreciate whenever Kerr, you know, presses the issue, because a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people in the comments that I saw on Instagram are like, just stick to basketball. Why does Kerr always got to do this? Or I don't like Kerr no more because he's at the DNC. And I'm like, it's bigger than that, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's a good point. And the one thing I was wondering is, quite frankly, when you see Steve Kerr talking last night, is that a turn off? Or is it a turn on?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
Stein, you got to turn something off.
I don't know what's going on. I got a call. I got a call on my computer. Could you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's close it.
It's closed.
That was West Oakland Sam.
That was my daughter.
Oh.
From London. So.
Did she have a thought on Steve Kerr?
No. Okay. Not at all. Not at all. But, I mean, does that stuff last night make you like Steve Kerr more as a coach? Or, you know what, you'd prefer if he wouldn't do that? The one thing I kept thinking last night was, and I don't know if the word's gutsy, but I thought of Barkley last night. And you know how people say, rules are a little different for Barkley. He kind of says whatever he wants, and that's Charles Barkley. I was thinking that about Steve Kerr a little bit last night. Like, man, he's more political probably than any coach or manager that I can remember.
Well, I think
and it's
funny.
Just part of who he is. And I'm wondering if, and here's where I'm going, is I'm looking at some of the greatest coaches of all time, and I do feel like Kerr may be among them, but he doesn't get the respect and the praise that these other coaches get. Like, if you look at the greatest coaches of our lifetime, Belichick, Phil Jackson, Andy Reid, let's say Kerr, Saban, Pat Riley, all these guys, it feels like Kerr hasn't earned his stripes like those guys have. And he's susceptible to more criticism than those guys get. And I'm just wondering why, with all the success that he's had.
I think it's because whenever you're associated with greatness, the coach typically takes a backseat to the player. Like, I find it funny that our caller brought up Popovich, and I think the story of Greg Popovich has changed a bit in the past few years. after he hasn't had Tim Duncan or David Robinson or Parker Ginobili, Kawhi. You know, after his players have moved on, Greg Popovich has not been a very good head coach. I kind of think he's still the same head coach he was when he was coaching great players. The only difference now, he doesn't have great players.
Right.
So people are beginning to criticize him more and talk about some of his shortcomings. I think the same can be said for Bill Belichick. When Tom Brady left and went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers in his first season after moving on from Bill, there was a lot of conversation about, well, was it Tom that stirred the drink? Was it Belichick?
Right.
And oftentimes it's somewhere in between. But I do think now that Bill Belichick is out of coaching, or for however long he is, you know, people are wondering, all right, well, is he really the greatest head coach of all time? Like, we saw what he did with Mac Jones. You know, there's a reason why the Patriots wanted to move on from him. It was about that time. I think he's one of, if not the greatest head coaches ever in the National Football League. But you need talent around you. And I think since Kerr has come in as head coach and only, up until recently, had talent around him, there's nothing to really judge him on outside of when he's had Hall of Famers. And outside of 2022, the last couple of years have not been great for him. And I think a lot of people have looked at those and are acting a bit more recently with their bias towards him.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, 888-957-9570. And I just jotted down some coaches that we've seen in the Bay Area in the last 10 years. And two guys, like Jim Harbaugh, let me just throw this out there. Jim Harbaugh coached the Niners for 5 years. Jim Harbaugh and Kyle Shanahan. Who's a better coach? Which one do you prefer? Why did you like one over the other? Do you think they're both great coaches? We all know Harbaugh was different.
He is.
What was it about Harbaugh that you either liked or didn't like? Ditto for Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson. Look, I know Mark Jackson takes some heat around here, and I wasn't crazy about him. And a lot of the reason is because of what I'm talking about today. You know, do you prefer a Steve Kerr to a Mark Jackson? Why have we gravitated toward Kerr and maybe not? We never did. Why didn't we feel a connection to Mark Jackson? And then, you know, just Bruce Bochy. He's a legend around here. Why? Well, what was it about Bochy that everybody loved? Outside three World Series, which maybe is the only way you get universally loved. But we're gonna listen to Kyle Shanahan in about an hour, and you know, just thinking about him and the other coaches in the Bay Area. What do we want out of our coaches? And maybe more importantly, what do we want out of our leaders? Because to me, it's hard to compare sports with real life. But I think you can if you're just talking about a coach compared with a boss. How do you want to be led if you were a player?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.